Kicking into hour number two, the home team, presented by Golden Pantry. Eat, drink, the Golden. Chris and Jeff till 7, and then the Braves will follow that up. And they are now in Milwaukee for the first of four. Yeah, their former home, and Freeman is in the lineup tonight in that three hole, so that's good news after he was plunked in the elbow yesterday and had to leave the game early. But he said he knew it wasn't broken. He didn't even want to have an x-ray. But it didn't sound good though when the baseball imprint you could see on his elbow.
Yeah, that's not good when you can see the seams and Reed Wilson or Spalding or whatever the old horse hide's made out of these days.
Yeah, that left a mark. All right, we'll dive right into today's 5 at 5, brought to you as always by Duplicating Systems. More than a system, a solution. We'll start with Jeff. Jake Fromm broke his hand. That's the bad news. The good news is he will be fine, but it did have me thinking for this first question in today's 5 at 5. Jeff, who is the player that Georgia can absolutely not be without this season?
Who? Fromm would certainly be at the top of the list. He might be number one. I'd say it's between he, DeAndre Swift, and Andrew Thomas.
What about Hot Rod?
That was...
Or are we just not going to play close games or it's going to matter that much?
He's in my top five.
Yeah. I mean, he's the one that doesn't – I mean, like if Fromm goes down, okay, there's Fields. But we have the backfield is good even after Swift. Obviously with Thomas, the backup situation there would be honestly scarier than it would be at quarterback or running back. But then, I mean, who kicks
– Yeah.
Who kicks if something happened – To Rodrigo, yeah.
And then number five would be what, Baker probably? DeAndre Baker?
Probably.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, that's really one of the thinner spots out there. And then again, I mean, the one thing facing Georgia this fall is, a more solid quarterback lineup than we've seen the last couple of years.
Well, you got Bentley, Locke.
Florida's
going to be a lot
better. Florida's going to be better there.
Yeah, Stidham's back.
Stidham's back.
Taquan Marshall's back. Kentucky.
Shermer's not bad at Vanderbilt.
No, it's just, not at all.
You know, the rest of Vanderbilt. And, I mean, Tennessee was a wreck last year at quarterback. I mean, the one thing at least with Crist is, having some experience from Stanford is they might actually have better quarterback play this fall than they had a year ago.
They could. And Garantano, he was a big-time recruit coming out.
Yeah, so was that Dorman, wasn't
he? He just didn't get anything out of him.
No. With an offensive coach, too. Maybe that defensive coach, Pruitt, will get something out of him. Although Fulmer played offensive line, so he's an old offensive guy.
He's an O-line guy. That might be – I remember, too, I think in the spring he had talked about really wanting to help out on coaching on the offensive line. I mean, that's another way he's trying to get from the top and from the bottom.
Well, he went and helped out. He paid a recruiting visit to Cade Mays. How'd that work out?
Georgia.
Yeah, he came here. But yeah, right after Pruitt got the job, that was the moment where the light bulb first went off with me. With like, man, this guy's really, he's up to something in Knoxville with the, I'm just helping out on recruiting visits now, and he played for his dad or they were teammates or whatever. But he's the AD at the school going on recruiting visits.
Well, and
there's an ulterior motive there.
I love too that well, Jeremy's out recruiting. I'm going to be the spokesman for the football team.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But him being a former high school football coach, that'll probably help him out on the recruiting trail.
Oh,
he's built in some relationships there. You know, he used to coach in high school not that long ago.
Hoover High, baby.
Yeah.
What is that?
You know, he was coaching in high school, and I was here in Knoxville being held to a touchdown at home against Wyoming.
That's asparagus.
And he was the DC at Hoover High.
Two-a-days.
I mean, they might have been able to score more on Wyoming than Tennessee did back then.
That was the end, wasn't it? 2008.
I believe that was his last season. Yeah.
They
lost 14-7. Or yeah. did they
was
win?
Maybe 14-9 or something.
Did they win 14-7? I think they lost though.
I think they lost to Wyoming, right?
Pull that up.
Didn't
yeah,
that
I think
happen?
They did. Yeah, I think it was like 14-9. We beat Wyoming here 16-9 back when Wyoming was good. But I think what did Tennessee go that year? Did they go 5-7 in 2008?
Wyoming had a good quarterback last year, I heard.
Yeah. Because last year was what the first time? What did Tennessee go 4-8?
In what, his last year?
No.
Oh, this past season, yeah, they were 4-8.
All right. So what was their deal? It was like them and Ohio State were the only two teams that had never had an 8-loss season.
Wow. Well, they have now. Yeah, Wyoming won 13-7.
There you go.
That was back in 2008, and that was when you pretty much knew you don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. Jeff, moving on in the 5-5. Julio Jones. We've talked about Julio Jones a lot. He is not content with his current contract. He thinks that he should be paid more than he is, and he's one of the top receivers in the NFL, and his salary this year doesn't necessarily reflect that. But here's what I want to know now. I mean, it's easy just to say, like, there's no way this isn't going to work itself out. He'll be in. He'll play. They're not going to let this drag on. But when does it get resolved, and how does it get resolved?
I think it gets resolved in August.
Is it going to be before training camp, or will he miss some training camp?
I think he's going to miss some training camp.
Okay.
I mean, this thing sounds – plus the intel that you're getting, and you got the inside scoop, the straight dope. You know, it doesn't sound like this is, it's all going to get worked out here, as we all think. I still think it's going to get worked out.
How does it get worked out? I mean, is it the Falcons eventually are just going to have to find a way to give him what he wants?
I guess so. They'll probably meet somewhere in the middle, maybe – You like to say, well, can they give him a little bit more on the back end? Well, that's not going to happen. And especially now, you know, the first time he starts to slip, they'll cut him loose without thinking twice about it. But it's like you said, I mean, this stuff is really sophisticated. I mean, you got to have a good accountant to do this salary cap. And it's not like they could just say, all right, we're going to pay you more money, because you've only got a certain amount of dollars that you can pay guys.
Well, the Steelers had a similar situation with Antonio Brown a couple of years ago, and they figured out a way to make him happy, which was just, you know, moving some of that back-end money up front so he was getting more of it early on in the deal. You assume at some point it's going to come to that. But, you know, Julio Jones' agent is Jimmy Sexton. He don't mess around, right?
No.
But as of right now, it is still lingering, because training camp starts I think it's the last Friday of this month, whatever, or maybe it's the 27th. They announced it. We're only like 3 or 4 weeks away from getting down to business.
I'll tell you what, a lot of Falcons fans are saying, yeah, he's really good, but a man who can afford $150,000 earrings, not underpaid. I'll tell you that.
He's not, but I'm telling you, one of the greatest tricks these NFL owners have done have gotten fans to really think that the players are overpaid.
You trying to say the owners make some money too?
Yeah.
They both make an obscene amount of money.
Yes, they do, but the owners make a lot more.
Oh, gosh, yeah. Well, that's why they're the owners.
That's why they are the owners,
That's
yes.
The difference between being rich and wealthy.
Yeah. Well, they've been able to convince other people to buy them stuff.
That's the real twist, isn't it? Yeah, I'm a billionaire, but I need a taxpayer-funded stadium.
Yeah, that's the type of socialism they like.
We're gonna hold, and if you
when
don't
it benefits
do it,
rich people,
we're gonna move to another city.
Yes,
well, like we were heavy on that LA card when I guess basically Goodell figured out when basically 1/4 of the NFL got a new stadium. Due to threats to move to Los Angeles, I guess they figured out, well, we've kind of played that card out. So,
what I love though is that the Rams had already moved there, and they still the Chargers still went. Oh
I
yeah,
know.
Well we're going there.
We're
going
to go anyway.
What if there just end up being like five teams in LA? Like they're not bluffing.
Yeah, maybe they'll do that. Well, we're going to have a team in Santa Barbara. We're going to have a team in Santa Monica. We'll have a team in South.
I mean,
LA.
The Raiders are moving to Vegas now, there so Vegas go. Is off the table.
London will be the...
Is that the new one? Is that the new chip? Because there are... I mean, how many teams are like... The Kansas City Chiefs are playing in old stadiums.
It's a great stadium.
Right, but it's old.
Buffalo.
And they have new owners, too. I mean, recent. Within the last you know, 3 or 4 years.
And they've had that Toronto flirtation. They're not getting out of Buffalo. I think the thing with London.
Well, they, you know, they stopped playing there too. They played a couple of home games there, but they haven't done that in the last year or two.
The thing with London, though, I think it would be a deal like L.A. or New York, and it would make sense. If they ever got a team, I think they would get two teams.
London?
Yes. For travel.
Would they just be new teams or moved from somewhere? I mean, you can't move the Kansas City Chiefs to London. Guess they can. They moved the Chargers to L.A.
That's bad. But the thing is, the NFL, it's so symmetric now. You've got the two 16-team conferences. You got four 4-team divisions in each conference. It works out perfectly now.
You know, I always had Jacksonville pegged as a team that could move there, but you know, they had a good year last year, so they might actually have some fans show up to their games now.
And they're playing a game there every year anyway.
Yeah, they've got a game there every year.
I still don't think the NFL will ever put a team there. It's just too far. But if they did, I mean, it would, in my opinion, be 10, 15 years at the soonest. And I could see them doing a two-team deal there.
No, but they want they definitely want a playoff game there.
Talk about being at a disadvantage.
Because they've done the experiment now the last couple of years where they've had a team play in London and then not have their bye week the following week
to try and gather intel
of, you know, what it's like to play consecutive weeks after traveling like that.
Maybe they'll have that as like the 4-5 game.
Yeah. But, you know, or like some team that is, you know, hosting a playoff game but doesn't deserve to host one.
But, yeah.
You know, like the 7-9 division champ that gets to host a playoff game.
So you're going to go, you know, we're going to have a playoff game in London. So, like Broncos fans, oh, sorry, you don't get to host a playoff game. It's going to be in London.
Well, I think probably what they'll do, because they've been, you know, they've been kicking around the idea of adding – an additional wild card, so that's what they'll do. They'll just add the new wild card will be games over there.
They'll put 7 teams in on both sides, and only the top seed gets the bye.
Yeah. Jeff, moving on in the 5-5, plenty of good week one games on the college football slate. And, you know, it's the first weekend of the season. It's early. You know, as we've seen over the first couple of years of the playoff, I mean, only two teams have lost in September that have made the playoff. The losses these teams are taking are in October and November, and they're still making the playoff. You know, in the big picture, you lose in September, you're certainly not out of it. But which team will be in the worst shape if it does lose that first game in one of those marquee matchups?
Auburn.
To be sitting at, even though it's a non-conference game.
I think, you know, we hadn't seen a two-loss team in the playoff yet. They got to go through the SEC. They got to come to Athens and go to Tuscaloosa.
Yeah.
If you're talking about playoff aspirations, that'd be my answer.
I mean, they had two losses last year. They were in if they had beaten
us. They would have.
So.
But now it would have been a deal. You know, they would have beaten both. They would have beaten Alabama and beaten Georgia twice. They would have gotten in. They'd have been the first team.
Which they would, you know, essentially have to do again this season if they lost to Washington. Unless they lost to us but beat Alabama again. Then they'd have two losses, and when they beat Alabama, they might still be in line to get to the SEC title game.
Yeah, they could. Who knows? But there hadn't been a two-loss team in there. They would have been the one that would have made it. And I think the other thing, like you said, Chris, the losses have come – in October and November, I just think a lot of it, too. If you lose in September, boy, you just look at the rest of the way. It's like, golly, we've got no margin for error. And if you're talking about going like 9 or 10 weeks in a row like that, that's hard to do.
Yeah. I think like a team, though, that does play in a conference does benefit from playing in that conference and the potential to at least at the end of the season say, like, we did win the league. Like, even that's the case for Washington. You know, they could lose a marquee game, but, you know, at the end, if they won the Pac-12, they might be in good shape. That's why that's early on in the year, and then you've got a long way to go. So, for Notre Dame that doesn't have a league, if they're 0-1 to Michigan right out of the gate, I mean, they could get there with two losses.
Oh, it's Notre Dame.
But I don't think they could get there with three. And the schedule just has too many landmines on it.
Especially that spot you found where they go, what is it, 5 weeks in a row in five different places?
Five different places. You know, they play USC on the road.
That Navy game in San Diego, that is a landmine.
Yeah. I mean, Navy beat them a couple of years ago in Jacksonville, so they've gotten away from playing them. I guess they still do make them come to South Bend. It's just when it's time to go and play Navy, they play them someplace else. But, yeah, you got basically, you know, five consecutive travel weeks for Notre Dame at the end of the season. So, to dump the first game of the year, plus to a big rival like Michigan, who don't play anymore.
And Michigan needs to win that game. You know, no doubt Jim Harbaugh's rejuvenated that program, but 1-5 against Ohio State and Michigan State.
I think it's a close call for them, too, is if they're out of the gates 0-1, losing to another rival, then it's just where – you know, you start to hear a lot of negativity then.
You do.
Because that's been what you've been hearing all this offseason anyhow.
And then you'd have to think, like, all right, well, they're 1-5 against Michigan State and Ohio State. Are they going to beat them both and Penn State? And then you start thinking, well, maybe they could lose once and an 11-2 record with a strong schedule. Could they possibly get in? Maybe. But you're talking about a very small margin for error there.
Yeah, but between – I mean, how many of these teams are we looking at being preseason top 10? I think you got Auburn and Washington both in there.
Yeah.
Not Michigan and Notre Dame, but close. You know, Miami's another one that just based on their finish last
right.
year might be lurking in there again, and they've got LSU that first game of the season.
Yeah, I mean, whoever loses that, I mean, they're probably both on that secondary contenders list. I mean,
yeah.
Whoever loses that game.
At least Miami knows, like, they could still win it the division. Like,
they
LSU,
could.
They're not winning their division.
No.
So if they're 0-1, they've lost to Miami. Like, they're not winning the SEC West. Miami could lose to LSU and, like, well, we could still win
the ACC championship game.
Is that the
sure.
Coastal Division? Yes. I think they're in the Coastal Division, correct?
Whichever one Florida State is not in.
They are actually on a coast.
Miami is.
Right. Although the other division's the Atlantic, and the coast they are on is the Atlantic, so they could be in that division. I think they're in the Coastal, though.
We all kind of know FSU and Clemson are in the same one.
Right. I know what teams are in the divisions
right,
now,
so
but I'm just not sure. I'm not 100% which is the Atlantic and which is the Coastal.
And by the way, the SEC got it right with the East and the West, the Pac-10, then 12, then the North and the South. The Big Ten at least got away from that stupid leaders and legends. That was so pompous.
Yeah, I mean, they realized the error of their ways after 1 year. And they also figured out, too, that – because remember, at first, Michigan and Ohio State were separated. So they got them together.
Yeah, because it was like, all right, what if they're both, you know, 10-1, 11-0, then the regular season game, which is one of the biggest in college football, could potentially mean nothing.
Right.
You're going to play the next week.
Yeah.
That would not be good.
That's why the Big 12 then had to move Bedlam.
Yeah.
Oklahoma State and Oklahoma would have had a pretty good chance of playing each other 2 weeks in a row. Although this year now they've got Oklahoma and West Virginia playing the last game of the year. And all that hype with the Mountaineers, they could have to turn around and play each other in back-to-back weeks.
They could. And that's the thing in the Big 12, you know, because they play everybody. The Big 12 has 10 teams, by the way. You play the other nine, so it's a guaranteed rematch. I'd like to go through, Chris, if we have time today, and run through what would be the worst possible conference championship game matchup for each league.
Like, realistic?
No.
Oh. So, like, basically Vandy versus Arkansas?
Arkansas, yeah.
Yeah. Or actually Missouri and Arkansas. No, Vandy would be pretty bad. At least Vandy's been in the SEC forever.
Right.
So, no, it would be Missouri. Here's why it would be Missouri and Arkansas, because that would be a rematch. They play the last game of the season, so you would have Missouri and Arkansas playing each other 2 weeks in a row.
Hey, I think Missouri and A&M played each other in the SEC Hoops Tournament a couple of years ago, and it was just odd. It was very odd.
Yeah.
Wait, this is an SEC basketball tournament game, and Missouri's playing Texas A&M.
Right. At least I think that was in Nashville, though, not in St. Louis.
It was whichever year Missouri wasn't not playing in the
SEC that was
tournament. Yeah, two or three
Well, this year we knocked them out, and then the year before they weren't in it.
Right.
So it's been like at least 2 years now, or 3 years. Jeff, moving on to the 5-5, the last two seasons in the NFL, a team that failed to make the playoffs the previous year played in the Super Bowl. You had the Eagles last season who won it, and you had the Falcons the year before who also won it. Oh, no, they didn't. They blew that lead. So, Jeff, which team is the best bet to be that team this season? Not in the playoffs a year ago, playing in the Super Bowl this season.
Chargers out of the AFC, out of the NFC, San Francisco 49ers.
The Niners over the Packers?
Good point. Aaron Rodgers was hurt. But Mike McCarthy's our coach.
Right. Kyle Shanahan is the Niners coach.
Your point.
He was very good in his last season with
until it really mattered.
Until it did matter, yeah.
Until it really
and
mattered.
And that play calling got a little wacky.
What about
the Houston Texans?
There you go. Because I think Houston's got the biggest win improvement.
I think, though, the answer is the Los Angeles Chargers of San Diego. That's my answer.
I mean, I think Houston could go to the Super Bowl. I think the Chargers could go.
Yeah. I mean, that team was 0-4 and finished 9-7, but really probably should have won 11 or 12 games last year. They didn't have a kicker early on. And, I mean, they were it was dreadful. They were like 2-for-8 kicking field goals between like 40 and 49 yards last year.
It was that kid from Georgia Southern who missed those first two.
Yeah. But then they got rid of him and still couldn't make a kick from that distance.
And that's one thing in the NFL. You better have a good kicker because everybody else does. And if you don't, you're just doomed. Because these guys are hitting like 90%+.
Yeah, from 40 to 49.
That's got to be a make.
It does. Not 100%, but you got to at least kick in the 80s there.
Oh, gosh, yeah. Which I still got. You're talking about one of the most underrated Falcons ever. How about Matt Bryant? How many games has that guy won?
Yeah, for and he's still going strong.
I mean, he is money. I will not say Tampa Bay. I'm off their bandwagon. I was on it last year. Good call with Green Bay missing last year. I still don't trust Mike McCarthy.
Yeah, I don't either. I think the Chargers are the answer. I'm taking them to win the AFC.
He looks different. The Argentinian soccer coach reminded me of the guy who replaced Harbaugh in San Fran. That Tomasulo.
He wore those like really the skin tight form fitting T-shirts, but to show off his sleeve tattoos.
Right, but it was just kind of. And then you saw that guy for the Niners. It's like this is just not going to work.
Yeah, well, Tomasulo did the thing where he had the tracksuit, but then there was no shirt on under it.
I mean,
he looked really like he should have been a bouncer at the Bada Bing.
He did. So that's where they don't really look alike, but both you could just look at the guy and say, yeah, your team's going to be disappointing.
Yeah, and Argentina was. Although they at least made it to the knockout round, unlike Germany, whose coach also wore those like real tight T-shirts. But he didn't have tattoo sleeves.
Oh, gosh, the guy from Argentina. Whoa.
Yeah. Now, he looked like a rough guy.
He did. He, too, could have been a bouncer at the Bing.
But that was the conflict there was the story was they didn't know who was in charge of that team and who was really in control inside the locker room, who was calling the shots.
So, he was like Tyronn Lue. And Messi's like LeBron.
Yeah. But I'm like, I don't know if I'd have messed with that guy, though. I'd let him call the shots. LeBron already putting together quite a team in L.A., though, right, huh?
I went to ESPN.com.
Lance Stevenson and JaVale McGee.
To look at some scores, and the lead is, where's Kawhi going? It's also, listen, let's still try to keep this somewhat journalism. I don't think Kawhi Leonard has gotten to the point where he can be known by just his first name.
Well, I was reading that he
Capiche, this isn't magic.
I was reading he wanted to go to L.A., but he doesn't. But not the Clippers. So he wants to go play for the Lakers. I want to go play in Los Angeles. Okay, we'll trade you to the Clippers. No.
No, not them.
Not them.
The other L.A.
The other L.A.
The cute sister.
Yeah,
come
the
on.
One that just signed LeBron. All right, there's your 5 at 5 brought to you as always by Duplicating Systems. More than a system, a solution. We will up.